This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We bring you a conversation, an important conversation that people always want to know about. Why is the fuel price so high in South Africa? Why do we pay so much when our neighbors pay less? Leighton Bird is going to join me on the line. He's the spokesperson at AA, and of course, if you know them, that's the Automobile Association. Leighton, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Thanks, Lekhanya. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
Thank you very much. I mean, perhaps let's take a back seat and start off with asking you to help us break down the cost model that we use here in South Africa per litre of petrol. And typically, let's use the 95 petrol. What is it that goes into costing a litre of petrol before we start saying what is it that can be done to help reduce the cost of fuel in this country in the long term?
Okay, so first of all, let me just say that the Automobile Association, the AA, has no involvement in the setting or regulating of fuel prices in South Africa. We're an independent body, and we just provide information. The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy adjusts the prices. They regulate it, and the AA has nothing to do with that at all. But obviously, we're quite involved in terms of wanting to provide consumers, such as your listeners, with information regarding the fuel price. Now, you're asking about what goes into every litre of petrol. There's a hell of a lot, actually. And I'll go through a very quick list. But basically, there's all kinds of margins in terms of how much it costs for us to buy the fuel on international markets in the Mediterranean, in the Gulf area. Then there's a cost associated with bringing it to South Africa. There's a cost of storing it before it's offloaded off the ships. There's a cost of harbour costs involved. There's refining costs. There's retail margins that go into it. So in other words, what does the actual service station who sells it, what did they get? What do the people who work at those service stations get? There's all those types of nitty-gritty issues. And, I mean, there's insurances that go into all of this. There's freight costs from the coast in Cape Town and Durban to bring it inland. So that has to be accounted for as well. There's various elements that make up that fuel price. In addition to which, we pay in South Africa quite substantial levies. Taxes on the fuel that we buy as well. And those taxes are built into the litre price of fuel. So in other words, when you take your Ferrari to go get it filled up, every litre that you pump into that car, you're actually paying tax on that as well. So it's not just the fuel that you're paying for, but you're also paying certain taxes that go into it. And the two taxes that we talk about, the two big taxes, as you know, are the general fuel levy, and that's a tax that gets put on every litre of petrol, and the money collected from that goes to Treasury, and they can use it for whatever they want. They can build clinics, they can buy vaccines, they can do school books or whatever the case is. That goes directly to Treasury. And then the other big tax that goes on is the RAF levy, and that gets sent directly to the RAF, and that's used to compensate victims of crashes. And currently, those two levies comprise R6.11 on every litre of petrol. So if you're paying R17 a litre for petrol, R6 of that is going towards taxes.
R6 of that is going to taxes. That's quite a steep price in percentage terms, because you're looking at anywhere around 35%, Leighton. It seems as if in your interactions with the portfolio committee responsible for the Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy, you are putting across some ideas in terms of what is it that can be done to tackle this aspect of these taxes.
Yeah, 100%. I think when we look at those taxes, the first thing that people, comes to people's minds is are we getting value for money? And are our taxes being utilized and allocated properly? And for us, that's a very deep and serious question. When you look at, for instance, the RAF, we we have the view that they're compensating victims of crashes. But what is being done to stop the crashes in the first place? And how are we promoting road safety in South Africa? And what are we doing to prevent the billions of rands that it costs us annually to compensate victims of crashes? Now, let me give you another figure, Lucano. I mean, we're talking about the cost of crashes. And, you know, this very often gets glossed over.
Yeah.
But in 2015, the Road Traffic Management Corporation released a document in which they said the cost of crashes to the economy. So in other words, what it costs the economy for crashes in South Africa is around 143 billion with a B rand. In 2021, we haven't had any updated figures from them, but in 2021, that figure is probably closer to 190, 200 billion rand a year. Mm. That's a huge amount of money. That's a massive amount of money. What are we doing to reduce that amount of money? How are we promoting road safety in South Africa? How are we ensuring that the pressure that's been put on the RAF in terms of its compensation is not as severe as it is now? We know the RAF is in a massive deficit. They've got a deficit of around 350 billion rand. So it's all about managing that money better. So when we look at the levies, our question must be, are we benefiting as citizens, as consumers? Because that's what the AA is all about. We're all about championing consumers and citizen rights. And how are we benefiting from those taxes we pay? You quite correctly said we're spending between 35 and 40% of every litre of petrol goes towards taxes. But what are we gaining from that? I don't think people would have a problem paying taxes if there was a tangible, visible benefit that they saw coming from that. At the moment, I don't think that that's the case.
And Leighton, in a country where public transport is not at the level at which it should be, it almost feels as if when the tax burden is so high on fuel, you are punishing people for having cars as though you actually have a quality alternative for them, which doesn't quite exist.
Yeah, I mean, that's just such an excellent point. And, you know, I've tried to phrase it in different ways, but you've just clarified it so well. You know, when we look at public transport, it has to be safe. That's the most important thing for us. So, you know, people who get on public transport must feel that they are going to get to their destination with no problems. It has to be reliable. Is it going to be there at 5 past 10 every morning when I need to go to work or when I need to go to do shopping? Or will it be there at 5 past 5 when I need to get home? So it needs to be safe. It needs to be reliable. It needs to be sustainable. It needs to be something that can carry on day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. That's a critical. And I think for our citizens in South Africa, perhaps the most important thing is it must be affordable. You know, it mustn't cost me 20 rand for a single trip one way and then 20 rand again to come home, because that's just not going to work. So we have a huge reliance on fuel in South Africa from an individual perspective. People like you and me who drive cars maybe or who have motorbikes, we have a huge reliance on that. But to reduce that reliance on fuel is a critical element of dealing more effectively with the fuel price. And one way in which you do that is you make public transport affordable, reliable, safe, and sustainable. And that's a very critical element of the pie. And as you quite correctly said, at the moment, that's not the case in South Africa. So there are, you know, when we talk about the elements that make up the fuel price, we can talk about that for hours. But when we look at the stuff that can, you know, some of the solutions we're looking at, immediately we need to be looking at things like public transport. How are we jacking up our public transport to make it affordable and safe for people to use? Because that's going to reduce some reliance on the fuel we're using.
I'm in conversation with Leighton Bird, spokesperson of the Automobile Association. That line is 0861-987-000 to join in on this conversation, because you always ask me about this and I say, and then the team says, no, let us bring a solution to this conversation to expand our scope and understanding of what really goes into the fuel price. But Leighton, just hold that line. I'll be back shortly after this ad break.
Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Please indeed do dial in on 0861-987-000 to be part of this conversation. We're talking all things fuel price and some ideas as to what can be done to alleviate this burden on consumers who at times, like myself, don't use a car because, you know, I choose to, I would love to not have to use a car and just simply be on public transport, because, sure, it's so expensive maintaining a car, I'll tell you. Leighton, please hold on the line. I've got Miesha here who's got a comment to pass. Miesha, good morning.
Morning, morning, and great. Come in my town. You don't report. You've been trouble.
I hope I won't have your boys waiting outside for me to kidnap me to a secret location, Miesha.
You don't pay protection fee. You're gonna get them coming. And morning to Layton.
Morning, Miesha. Good to be with you.
Good, Layton. I've got this question for you. Mm. I think that we've got a government that doesn't think ahead. In the next 10 years or 15 years, all the car manufacturers are saying combustion engines will be over. So the EVs are going to be in place. Now, our over-reliance to pay accidents like RAF on fuel levy, what are we going to do in the next 10 to 12 years when combustion engines are over, we don't pay this fuel levy, but accidents are still going to be there? How are we going to remunerate people?
Yeah, that's an absolutely brilliant question. And I think this issue of electric vehicles, Miesha, is something that is slowly entering the conversation. And I think from our perspective, it's entering the conversation too slowly. I don't think 10 to 15 years is when we're going to see the proliferation of EV vehicles in South Africa specifically. We're seeing it happening in many other parts of the world. I think it will take a little longer in South Africa. But the point that you make is extremely valid. How are we going to deal with the RAF when there are more electric vehicles on our roads than ICEs, in internal combustion engines? And that's an issue that needs to be dealt with now, quite correctly, as you say, because in 10 years' time, it may be too late to deal with it. So from our perspective, one of the things that we are saying, and one of the things we said yesterday to the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy, was that we need a wholesale revamp of the RAF. It needs to be privatized or semi-privatized. The private sector must be involved in that, because that will make it a more efficient outfit than it is at the moment. So it's not a question of just looking at the situation with EVs, although that must absolutely form a part of it. But the whole notion of the RAF as we have it at the moment, I think, needs to be relooked. And the management of the RAF needs to be relooked as well. So in terms of EVs and this issue of ICEs being, kind of being worked out over the next couple of decades, is a very critical issue that we need to look at. And you're quite correct. It's something we need to do now and not in 10 years' time when it's going to be too late.
Layton, okay. I think, thank you, Miesha, there joining us, and I promise to report to headquarters soon. Layton, I mean, this interesting point by Miesha is making me think Eskom will just go and want a 45% increase to solve the RAF problem. Layton, here is another one from Spiwo. There's always this differentiation between coastal and inland prices of fuel. Yeah. He says it should be made clear to everyone that the so-called coastal price means big cities only. The likes of Katiana, Tsendane, Lusikisiki, Coffee Bay are not counted as coastal areas, even though the towns are stone throw away from the ocean. They pay inland prices.
It's an issue.
On that?
Yeah, what he's talking about is what is known as zone differentials. So in Gauteng, we're in zone 9C. It's broken up into 55 different magisterial districts throughout the country, the zones. But it's got to do with things like how is the fuel transported from one place to another. So the main way it's done is pipeline. That's obviously one way. That's, the cheapest way of doing it. Then you've got rail, which is the second cheapest way of doing it. But we know that we've got an issue with rail in South Africa. So rail transport and rail freight is an issue. So that's another thing that the AA is saying, well, let's have a look at things like Transnet. How do we improve Transnet to make our reliance on road freight, which is the third option of actually putting it in tanks and driving it from place to place? How do we reduce the reliance on that road freight? Because that's a very expensive way of transporting the fuel. If we could put a lot of it on rail, that would obviously make a huge difference. So he makes a very valid point. I'm a stone's throw away from the coast, but I'm still paying inland prices. How come? What do I do? And how do I sort that out? Well, that's part of the solution. We've got to improve the pipeline infrastructure. We've got to improve the rail infrastructure, because that is going to make a huge difference. At the same time, as we said previously, we've got to reduce that reliance on fuel as part of the solution. And we've got to look at how we make the RAF and other government institutions more effective to ensure that we can drive down those prices all the time.
Absolutely. I've got Patrick on the line. Patrick, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I was just saying the ability of our ability to skyrocket the fuel price. It's fantastic for the ratings agencies. You know, we can take out international loans, and the money's guaranteed. Like, whatever the price of fuel is, I'm going to pour fuel in my tank. That money's guaranteed. So the moment we start challenging the government to take down the fuel price, we're going to go to junk status, because ratings agencies love the guaranteed money, you know?
Mm. Okay, is that all, Patrick?
Yeah, that's all I had to say. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. I mean, Leighton, our economic state as a country is not in good condition at all, as Patrick is saying. So it's important for government to rely on these almost guaranteed forms of revenue. But these do have a knock-on effect in terms of the consumers, whether you're looking at commuters that rely on taxis, or you look at the food prices on the shelves in the markets.
No, 100%. Look, Lucano, you know, when we look at the factors that the government has control over, international petroleum prices is not one of them. You know, we buy that product on the international market. Places like, organizations such as OPEC and Russia are going to set those prices, and we've got nothing to do with that. But there are other factors that influence our fuel price locally. One of them, obviously, being the Rand-US dollar exchange rate. Now, when we look at the Rand, we look at our economy, we look at the strength of our economy, we look at the policy certainty we have in our economic policy in South Africa, we look at the state of the economy, because that's going to be a huge factor in determining the value of our currency against the international markets and against, specifically against the US dollar, the greenback. We have a lot to do in terms of correcting various elements in our economy, because that's going to drive our currency stronger, and that's going to have a knock-on effect on fuel. When the rand is weak, it is bad news for consumers locally, because that means that, you know, when we buy fuel on the international market, we're buying it with a currency that is weaker against what the price is. So, and as you correctly say, it has a huge knock-on effect. And you know, we always say the fuel price doesn't only affect motorists; it affects every single consumer in South Africa, because if it costs extra to make something or to produce food or whatever the case is, that cost is not going to be carried alone by the manufacturer or the agricultural sector. They're going to pass that on. And those costs are driven by the fuel price. And if it costs more to bring something from Cape Town to Joburg, it's going to be included in the cost that you pay at the end of the day when you pick that product off the shelf. So the fuel price is a huge thing, and it permeates through every single sector of our economy. So fixing the economy and getting the economy stronger is a huge element of making sure that we can drive the fuel price down. And that will, in our view, have a knock-on effect on the way that the levies are not only allocated but utilized at the same time. So very correct and very good call that you've just had, you know, speaking about the economy in general and how that has an effect on everything else, because it certainly does.
Now, there's a question that I often hear here on Power 98.7 when people say, why are we paying more for fuel when some of our neighboring countries pay far less, and sometimes their own fuel transitions through our country to get to them?
Yeah, I mean, the simple answer to that is that we add levies to our fuel. So if you, for instance, are buying fuel in Botswana that costs you at the moment, I think it's 10 pula, you know, or 8 pula, which is around 10 rand, they don't have any taxes on that. So if you were to take that 10 and you were to add the 6 rand 11 or 6 rand 15 that I was speaking about earlier, that goes to the various taxes. And the general fuel levy and the road accident fund levy are the two biggest levies. There are other levies that are added on as well. There's, for instance, something that's called the demand side levy, which is on 95 fuel, which is to reduce the demand for 95 petrol, and that's 10 cents a litre. So these types of excises and duties, taxes essentially, that are added to the fuel price in South Africa are not added to the fuel prices in our neighboring countries. So very, very correctly, you would probably get fuel cheaper in places like Botswana, Namibia, Swaziland than you would in South Africa, primarily because they're not adding these levies to their fuels.
Now, I suppose the work you are trying to do as AAA now is to try and persuade government from relying on the, you know, price of oil as the determinant of, you know, whether our fuel decreases or increases. Just talk us through, I mean, quickly, Leighton, on some of these proposals or measures you have put to mitigate against rising fuel costs. I know there's quite a few. I mean, you talk about better policing road safety, but some of the ones that you think are a low-hanging fruit that we can harvest in dealing with this question around fuel prices.
Okay, so first of all, I think, you know, we've got kind of five top headline things that we think need to be done as a matter of urgency. Number one, we need to investigate the current pricing model for fuel in South Africa. Is it the correct model? So we need a lot of research into establishing whether the current pricing model we have is the correct one, and whether all the elements that I spoke about at the beginning of the show are still needed in that fuel price at the cost at which they are allocated currently. So let's review the fuel price. And that may take a little bit of time, but that's an absolutely necessary thing to do. Yeah. And the sooner we start on that, the sooner we can get that done. So we've got to review the current pricing model. The second thing is we've got to do a recalculation and audit of the existing elements within the pricing model. So every single element on that pricing model needs to be looked at, and we need to say, is it necessary? Is it at that price? Yes, it is. Good. It's in, whatever the case is. We've got to reduce the cost of the road accident fund. And we've alluded to that now, but how do we reduce the cost on the of the RAF? We ensure better road safety. We ensure better roads. We ensure there's better policing out there. We ensure that pedestrian safety becomes a priority topic in South Africa. You know, pedestrians comprise 30-40% of deaths on our roads annually. How are we dealing with it? We know this. We know that pedestrians are a hugely at-risk group in South Africa. Are we giving them enough visibility sessions? Are we giving them enough roads to walk on? Are we making sure that there are lights at night for people to walk on so that they're not in danger when they're walking? These are the types of things that we need to do to reduce the reliance on the RAF. We've got to make sure that the money that is collected through the levies is better allocated and better utilized. In other words, the money from the GFL should be used for things like I've just said. Let's put streetlights up on areas where there aren't any streetlights. Let's put bridges over busy roads so people don't have to run across the highway to get from one side to the other, because that causes problems. So that's the type of thing we're looking at. And we need to look at our alternatives to our current reliance on fuel. We need to improve Transnet. We need to make safe, affordable transport, public transport available. And we need to be looking at non-motorized transport. So people using bicycles or e-bikes, people who are walking, we need to be looking at these issues. Those are the five things at the moment we think are critical to be looked at. And we certainly hope, Lucano, that you know, people like the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy and the Portfolio Committee look at our presentation and say, you know what, these are some of the things that we need to be investigating as well.
Absolutely. Leighton, before I let you go, there's a tweet that I want to squeeze in that just came through because you spoke on some countries not having levies on their fuel. Dan is asking, does that mean neighboring countries don't have something like REF?
Very many countries that neighbour South Africa don't. They do have other mechanisms to deal with road crashes, but also their road crashes are sometimes not as high as in South Africa.
Yeah, far smaller than we have in our country at times. Leighton Bird, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's only a pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Okay, that is Leighton Bird, spokesperson for the Automobile Association, taking us through the cost model for fuel, and I hope that was an enriching conversation.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.